When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
This podcast is intended for a mature audience as it contains adult language and can get rather intimate. So grab a cocktail, find a safe place to listen, and make sure your kids aren't around. Hey guys, it's Garcelle Beauvais and welcome to my podcast, Going to Bed with Garcelle. Grab a cocktail and get ready for some grown and sexy conversations with me and some of my closest friends. We're talking sex, life, relationships, did I say sex, and everything in between. All right, tonight I am going to bed with iconic comedian, sex expert, and fellow podcaster Margaret Cho. Hey, Margaret.
Hey.
Hi. And the other person I'm going to bed with has been trying to go to bed with me for years. Director and producer, Star Victoria. Hey, Star.
Hey, sweetie.
How's it going? Hi, guys. Welcome to Going to Bed with Garcelle. Margaret, what is your drink of choice tonight?
Tonight I'm having calamansi juice, which
What's
is
that?
It's kind of like a Filipino lime lemon.
Okay.
Even saying it makes me really like my mouth water. It's like it's a very acidic, citric kind of experience. I'm really addicted to sour patch kids.
Oh my God, so are my kids. That's insane. So no alcohol, I take it, right?
No, I don't drink alcohol, but I do like it. I haven't drank for some time, but I get in trouble when I drink. So I try to steer clear.
Gotcha. Okay, Star, what is your drink of choice tonight?
I'm drinking my Snoop Dogg wine. Snoop Dogg.
What?
Delicious.
What is a Snoop Dogg wine? Is it really his wine brand?
It's really his, well, he's one of the 19 crimes, and this is really cool because this comes to life, so you have a little app, and he starts telling about how he used to be a little dog, and now he's a big dog. It's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
But it's really good.
Is there any weed in it? Infused
no,
weed?
No, but that would be amazing.
I'm going to have to try it. I am having rosé tonight, so I'm keeping it light. You know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll switch to tequila at some point. Margaret. I'm going to jump right in. I heard you think that a woman's G-spot is a myth. Is that right?
Well, I think my G-spot is a myth. I don't know
why
about
is your G-spot women's a myth?
Well, I have never exactly felt like I've had a G-spot orgasm. And then I had this treatment in the late 2000s called the G-spot treatment, where they a G-shot. And they pump in a bead of collagen into the spongy tissue where you believe your G-spot might be in your vagina.
Right.
And so they raise it in order to bring the nerves closer to the surface so it's easier to hit. But even then, that just
so they
made
plump
sex
it,
really
almost like a lip plumper, right. But it's a vagina right. plumper.
Correct.
Okay.
So it would be like a hyaluronic acid or something like that that holds a lot of water. But I think at that time it would be collagen. And then they pump it in, and then it just made the sex really uncomfortable. And so I don't really think, I think that I have an A spot, which is interesting, which is an anal G spot. So that's on the other side of the vaginal wall.
1 minute. Yeah, have you done anal?
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of anal.
Oh, yeah. But I've also gone for a walk, and I also did some yoga today. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that when I'm 52, and so as I get older, I try to discover more about sex and try to understand more about orgasms in general. I'm also not a multiple orgasmer, and I'm not a squirter.
Oh,
okay. We're going to get there. I don't think I've ever had a G-spot
orgasm either. It's really? Usually with a vibrator or something. No, but I don't think I want a needle down there either. I think I'd rather take a pill. If they have a vaginal pump pill, I would do that.
I've given some ladies some G-spot orgasms. So I don't know. I know it exists because I've hit it a couple times on some ladies. So
yeah, I know that. I think that I have done, I've done that too. So I do believe that other people have them. Ooh. I just think that there's not one in me.
Gotcha. Okay, Star, so since you jumped right on in with I've given some orgasms with the G-spot, how have you done that? I'd like to know.
You have to go in and up, and you have to know how to put your fingers in there the right way to be able to massage it in a way where the girl's relaxed and she is, it's a very intense feeling. So they have to be very relaxed. So, you know, it's just, I'm good with my fingers.
Wow.
And my tongue. So
it's all in the wrist. Yeah.
It's all in the wrist. It's all in the movement, you know? Yeah.
Gotcha. So. Okay. I have never had two, I'm going to say, well, you're bisexual, right, Margaret?
Correct. Yes.
Are you considered bisexual? And Star, you're
lesbian. Yes. I love women.
I know you do. I know you do. And I love that about you. I want to find out. I've always wanted to know this. Like, when did you know? And Star, I feel like you gravitate with trying to turn a straight woman gay or not gay, but just maybe come your way. Why is that so exciting to you?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that I try to turn. There's a name for that, too, with women who try to turn. But no, I don't try to do that. I just love women. And I'm not ashamed or shy with hitting on somebody, whether they're straight or gay. So if you're a beautiful woman, I don't care who you are. If you are fine, I'm going to come talk to you and be like, hey, girl, hey. So, you know, and I'm cute. Yes. So, it's not too hard for me to get a woman who... straight or gay or whatever. I've had women out with their boyfriends or husbands approach me in the bathroom after I smiled at them.
It's just what? And have you ever made out with any? Husband's
I've
out there.
I've had sex. I've had sex with married women when their husbands were gone. I was very promiscuous when I was young. You know.
Why do you think you were?
Because I love
sexually.
Women.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They're just sexual. They're sensual. They're beautiful. They're exotic. Erotic. There's just something about them.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and it's the way they walk, the way they talk. I don't know. I look at a man and I'm just like, no, I don't get it. Women, I get it. Curved.
I have to bring this up. I was on Instagram and I follow Niecy Nash. So Niecy Nash was saying that she knew her now wife, right? And one day they're hanging out watching a movie and all of a sudden they looked at each other and sparks flew. Do you think that a straight person can actually just happen, that even though you had no lesbian tendencies or it can just happen, like that person ignites something in you?
My ex-girlfriend and I were together. She was with her boyfriend for 7 years. They lived together and we worked together. And literally one day I was at her house. And look, here's the thing. I'm a lesbian. Do not get undressed in front of me because, you know, I'm going to try to be like.
Don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear.
You know? And so she did. And I was just like, well, I think this is an invitation. And then we were together for about 5 years, almost four and a half.
Wow. How about that?
She's never been with another woman since me.
Wow. That's amazing. Margaret, when did you know you were bisexual? When did you start exploring your sexuality to even be a sex expert and know your body and be okay with it?
Well, I started out as a lesbian. So I started out very, when I was a teenager, I was very lesbian identified. And so I wore these knee length cargo shorts, denim shorts, and like combat boots. And like I had a big bike chain. Like real 90s messenger bag and bike chain combo.
I remember those.
So you had the lesbian cross on my chest. And then everything was like really heavy. I don't know. Lesbians love to carry heavy things. But like long bangs, shaved head, that look. And then I was like, I think I like dick. Like it was weird. Like because I was so entrenched in lesbian culture that to suddenly – be attracted to men was like, am I a has-been? You know, that's what they call them, the women who jump lesbian ship and go to the other side.
I didn't know that.
But then I would go back and a has-been. It's back and forth. Anyway.
So how did your parents take that? First of all, being a lesbian and then going, oh, but I do love dick too.
Well, my parents really are interesting because I grew up in a, my parents owned a gay bookstore. So I grew up in a gay bookstore. So I was around gays and lesbians in the 70s and the 80s. These were like early political followers of Harvey Milk, early AIDS activists. So there was so much of that already. My parents, my dad loves male attention because South Korea's greatest export is male beauty. So he loves some male attention because he's like, well, men really know what's beautiful. Women just take anything. I don't think that's true, but
that's hilarious.
So he was very into gay culture. He was like really trying to push me towards being around gay people. And so, you know, there was an acceptance around my gayness, not acceptance around bisexuality because they didn't believe it existed. So they were like, you're straight. Well, then you're bending to societal rules of what women should be. That's not okay, but we'll go with it. But then going back and forth, that's really upsetting because they really are very entrenched in this idea that they have a very binary view of sexuality, not necessarily gender, as they definitely accept and understand trans lives, but for bisexuality, gender fluidity, queerness is really hard for them to grasp because they're coming from a very 70s gay pride point of view, which is very different.
Wow, they were so forward. That's amazing. Not only because being, you know, Korean descent, I would think it'd be more conservative. Like, you know, my parents coming from Haiti were very conservative. We didn't talk about sex. We weren't, they never even told me about periods. I thought I got shot in the night when my period started. So there was a lot of trauma going on around my period.
Traumatic, yeah.
It is traumatic. So how cool that your parents were that forward. You two have something in common. Star, you were a dancer in Atlanta. Margaret, you were an exotic dancer. You guys, how does that happen? How do you become an exotic dancer, Margaret?
Well, I was a belly dancer for years, and I danced in Cairo. I danced. And this is sort of before I had tattoos. So now you couldn't be able to really do it with tattoos. It's very different. But yeah, I danced in Middle Eastern restaurants in America. And I also did burlesque. And so to me, it's a real celebration of femininity and the body. And yeah, I love some old school stripper moves. Yeah, Atlanta has the best strip clubs, whether it's the Claremont or Magic City. You've got like the range of like very different kinds of dancers, very different bodies, age groups, races. It's really, it's on. I love it.
That's so cool. And Star, dancer in ATL, tell me all about it.
Actually, I was a dancer in New Jersey, New York. So it was, mine was more of a survival thing. Because I was, so, you know, I was kind of dealing with trying to find out who I was as a teenager. And it was just like a good way to make money. My first girlfriend, actually, that kind of made me realize I was gay, she was a dancer. So she was just like, you're beautiful, your body's beautiful, you should dance. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to dance. And then she was like, but you can make money and you don't have to do anything. And I was like, oh, so I could just really dance. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, are you sure? Because I'm not trying to be no hoe. And she's like, no, you're not going to be a hoe. And I said, okay, because I'm not a hoe. So, and she was like, no, you could just dance and do your thing. So when I started dancing, I realized I'm getting like $1,000 a night from guys just giving, like, thinking I'm beautiful.
And
I
was like, what?
Yeah. So I was like pole dancing and everything. What you need? What you need? I was doing
that's hard. I was never good on the pole. The pole is so hard.
It looks hard. So let me ask you this. Strap-ons, is that something that you guys are into?
Yeah, yeah.
Margaret, I love your answers. You're like, yeah, yeah.
I have a rig. I have like a different setup for men as opposed to women. And with women, I don't generally use a strap-on. With men, I do, though. Men love
to be
I have
pegged?
Like a kind of, yeah, pegged. I have a kind of a blunt. strap-on that I use that has, it's got, it's really nice. It's got like sort of like a wide base, and it's just, it fits into like this short, I have like shorts, boy shorts, kind of like that kind of a setup. Uh-huh. But with women, I generally don't use, it's usually more like vibrators or hands as opposed to a strap-on.
Now, when you have a strap-on, do you feel like your persona changes? Do you become more like aggressive or manly? Like, it does it, does it do anything to you? I would think if I put on a strap-on on, like, I want a holster too, and I want to, like, I want to be like so tough, which is probably not sexual at all. This is just in That's my great. Head.
It's fun.
How does it, just fun?
I think it changes, you know, it's sort of what you're doing sexually, whether it's sort of, power play or role play or
that's what I mean.
It's sort play. Of like I in general don't not a top, more like a service top, if anything. So I'm not naturally like a dominant person.
What's a service
sexually.
Top?
A service top is somebody that will be dominant, but not, it's not in their nature. So they're going to sort of draw it out according to the desire of the other person and depending on what's happening. So I'm naturally more submissive, but I'm learning more service top things. Like before the pandemic, I was taking a lot of Japanese bondage classes and working on rope work and knots and suspension and all this kind of stuff that is not natural to me, but I love the aesthetics of, and I love the, it's beautiful. You know, to me, it's very like, it's very lesbian adjacent. It's very macrame. So I love it.
Very macrame. wasn't thinking macrame. You, where does one find a class like that, Margaret? You talk about this as if it's, you know. Well,
there's ongoing education. My friend, Mistress Midori, who is an incredible bondage artist and wrote the book on the art of Japanese bondage and teaches classes all over the world. She's very renowned and really, really just a beautiful person and a great, 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 like just all around personality and knowledgeable about BDSM and all of the stuff. So she teaches, she was doing different classes out here in LA, but I mean, she teaches everywhere, you know. It's just really about going and finding, you want to like look, learn about it. I know that she's doing stuff online still too during the pandemic.
Wow. Amazing. I may take a class with you here or there. I heard of a woman who, first of all, she thinks that masturbating during your period can make you have multiple orgasms, and she can actually have, I believe it's 18 orgasms. Like I can barely do two. Like how does one do that? First of all, I also think like period sex, to me, is not attractive. Is that something that you guys would be into, or is it okay?
I like it. I mean, I don't mind it. I don't have a period anymore. So I kind of miss it, which is weird. I thought that I would
Nobody misses that. Get out of here, Margaret.
Well, I miss the being kind of in touch with the moon and the tides, and kind of when you're having your period and you sort of feel connected to the earth and the universe, and you realize how powerful women are, and we are like Yamaya and the ocean. And so it's that kind of feeling of like, I am one with the universe. But to lose that, there's a kind of thing of like, maybe I am the universe now. So, you know, there's a different
like
sense
that.
Of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about period masturbating, Star?
I mean, I've had sex with girls while they were on their period.
Doesn't bother you?
No, I mean, because, you know, take a shower and it's pretty dormant during the process. So it's not going to really be a problem.
Have you guys ever masturbated when you thought you shouldn't? Have you ever masturbated in IKEA or Starbucks line at, you know?
No.
Because that coffee, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, because I'm not necessarily an exhibitionist or a voyeur. So
you're not? You would think with all the things you said to me, you would be.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Because sex to me is such a spiritual thing. It's almost like you can't see it. Although I love the aesthetics of sex, but to me it's not necessarily a turn on. Like I love 70s porn, and I love like huge productions of porn, like the Mitchell brothers were like these infamous brothers in San Francisco. They made porn movies. Like they made all of the huge things like opening of Misty Beethoven, and these, they had a big budget for these movies and
really
huge, huge sets. And I mean, it's really incredible, and music, and it's really amazing. But they, one of them killed the other one in the '80s, actually. It's quite a crazy crime, but they're an interesting kind of, when porn chic was really kind of a big thing, when people would go on dates to porn theaters in the '70s.
Oh, I didn't know people were doing that. I love beautiful porn too. I agree with you. It has to be big budget. But I would have loved to have seen, when you said they do movies, like La La Land porn. Like, to me, that would have been really cool.
Incredible. Incredible.
That would have been incredible. They could sing and fuck.
I have masturbated in a car on a long road trip. I did do that.
That's good. I like I like car masturbation too. I'm into that.
Yeah, because you know, like, you're driving and you're bored and you're just like, well, it's a long road trip. I got to enjoy myself.
Bring some snacks and bring some lube. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, I've been wanting to up my sex game. What should I know? What should I, what am I missing out on? Margaret, you're going to go,
my favorite thing that I've done, it's two things. It's the Kegel Bell, which is a weighted vaginal pulley system. And it's like a weight, it's a weight machine, but it's not a machine. It's actually a series of weights that kind of enclose, and you can hang them in your shower. So every time you take a shower, you take it out, it's 2 minutes a day, and you work on the exercises, and you really can get to a point where more of your vagina is active. And I feel like this really enhances sex. Not necessarily like, I don't have more orgasm, but I have stronger ones and more substantial ones. So I would recommend that, because it's like when you learn how to engage your Kegel muscles, you're engaging your entire body in the activity. That and the LV, which is another sort of, you attach it to your phone and it kind of calibrates the sort of, like whatever the knots or whatever you're doing, like makes you press down onto this ball thing, and then it calculates how strong your vagina is, and you do these exercises around it.
I thought you were going to tell me have a couple of cocktails and go to a bar, but apparently
you,
not.
You do that. There's too. I feel like exercise definitely, or if you're doing yoga or Pilates, those both really strengthen the pelvic floor. For women, I think it's about strengthening your pelvic floor. The more you can do that, the more we can let go of social conditioning around that area, around our like lower stomach. It's a very loaded issue with women and their lower stomach.
Wow.
And we're always like encouraged to hold it in, but that weakens the vaginal muscle. So you've really got to think about how societal conditioning has sort of diminished my own sexual response, and combat it with other exercises, like active ones, like the Kegel Bell or the LV. Both of those I found tremendously helpful.
You are the modern Dr. Ruth. Do people know this?
I would like that. I think so. I would like to be. I mean, I think that's, you know, because she's got the best vibrator too. I don't know if you know, but the Erosilator.
No.
It's the Dr. Ruth. It's kind of like a Sonicare, and it vibrates on a different frequency than like other vibrators. So you don't lessen sensitivity. Sometimes vibrators will make me go numb. And the Erosilator actually does the opposite, because it vibrates on a different frequency that's maybe closer to a cat's purr than it is to a machine. So there's something organic about
it. Oh, I like that idea. It's a little bit organic. Right. So you don't get addicted to it. And then when a guy comes, you're not, you're sort of desensitized.
It's very different. So the Erosilator, I think it takes a little bit of getting used to. There's a bit of a learning curve, but it's quite a lot more expensive than some vibrators. I really recommend it, though. I think that anybody who is sort of experiencing a lot of vibrator addiction or fatigue should check out the Erosilator, and it's Dr. Ruth's product.
The Erosilator. I am on that. I am on it right now. How do you introduce, let's say you are kinkier than your partner or your mate, whoever you're with. How do you introduce, like, Star, I'm going to start with you. If you want to introduce something kinkier that they're not used to.
Alcohol helps.
Like, is that a conversation? Is it alcohol definitely helps?
It definitely
Cheers
helps.
To
have
that.
Have some alcohol, girl. Here you go.
Have some Snoop Dogg wine.
Have some Snoop Dogg wine and relax. No, it's I think it's pretty simple. You know, if they are trusting of you, then they're going to trust that whatever you're going to do to them is going to be safe, fun, and, you know, I mean, I've always told all the women that I'm the best they'll ever have. And so it usually always ends up being that way. So they trust me.
You're so humble.
I am so humble. And so it's just about talking with them and I think getting them comfortable. Yeah. But most of the time I've never had a problem. But I've never tried anything too outrageous, you know, tying up and all that good stuff. I think they're comfortable. Although I don't let people tie me up. Mm-mm. Nope.
No, I like the idea of it, but I don't know if I trust them. I'd have to know you for a very long time.
Very long time. Like, right? Give me your credit card.
A good
card,
way to get it. Yeah. You get a notary public in there. I think it's like really a good way to get into bondage is just to have people not move. So you place their hands
what
in a position
mean?
And they can't. Say, don't move your hands as if they're tied together. So the restraint is imaginary. So the ropes are imaginary ropes. And that's a good way to start because it is uncomfortable. Bondage is a weird, uncomfortable thing. But if the thought of it is a turn on, then the best way to go about it is to just ask somebody to not move from the position you put them in.
I love that. I can get behind. I can do that all day.
That's great.
Margaret. Would you come out with a sex? I feel like you should have a sex toy line or something.
I would love that. I would love
Do
that. I think that.
I would love that.
It would be wonderful, you know, and I would really focus on, you know what I love? I mean, I don't smoke marijuana anymore, but I love marijuana lube for anal and vaginal, but especially for anal because it
Why
gets
for anal?
You high and you can taste it, which is super weird. Like right you away.
Can?
Like you can taste it. Like strawberry. And it's so incredible. So I would say, like, I would love to have, so like, a much. Marijuana lube, like, or a CBD lube line to me. Because
Hello,
those, I think, are very.
Snoop.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Those are very amazing. Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's amazing. Okay, so wait. So is it a gummy? Is it oil that they put in your anal and then all of a sudden you feel high from it? That's really interesting.
Yeah. It's like a gel, but it also opens, like, because marijuana does something where it really opens you up physically to experience sex, I think. You know, there's something freeing about it. Alcohol does too, but for some reason, marijuana is even more so. I think there's something about weed that's just very sexy. And gets people in the mind to be in their body more.
Margaret, the last person you were with, girl or boy?
Boy.
How was it?
Great. He's great. I mean, I've been seeing him for a year. We're having so much fun because we're grown. You know, when you're like in this sort of like 40s, 50s, you're grown and you know what you want.
That's right.
And you're not in it for like some kind of thing of like, I want to get a ring. I want to get married. There's none of that. So it's very beautiful. Like I'm really having a good time with him. And I was experimenting a lot and I was going to dungeons and stuff in 2019. And I was just like, I think this is too performative. Like it's really kind of exhausting. So I wanted to sort of like reel it in, especially during this time. So I have a nice time with him.
That's amazing. Wow. Start. Obviously, last time you had sex was?
Last time I had sex? God, 1960.
Shut up.
It's been a minute, though. It's been a minute. It has been a minute. I've gotten more picky, which is weird. I had to like have a talk with myself because usually I wasn't too picky. But now I'm picky and I'm just like, oh, I'm getting older because I'm picky. So I think it was last year sometime around November, December, something like that.
Okay. So you're itching to get back in. Can we say that?
Well, yeah, there's some ladies, but.
How do you guys, like, what's your way of romancing someone? So let's say you're in charge of romancing that night. Margaret, what are you going to do? Either your man or your girl comes over. What's your romance?
I think cooking is a good way. Mm-hmm. Like when you get the engagement of senses, whether it's like watching something really stimulating, like a beautiful movie, or eating something really delicious, cooking something nice. And I get down into, I have like a mortar and pestle and like I make all the Thai food and stuff. So it's like a very intense feeling. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I have to wear a skirt when I have this giant mortar and pestle and I pound it between my legs. Like, it's very...
That's very erotic.
It's very erotic. It's very Asian. So it's like really good. So yeah, cooking, watching something beautiful, not having so much pressure around the sex, but it's making it sort of a sensual entry. And then if sex happens, it's sort of a natural progression of like, let's do this sense, this, and then moving down.
Got it. Awesome. Okay, Star, let's paint the picture. I call you up. It's Friday night. And I go, hey, Star, I want to hang out. Can I come over? What are you going to do for me?
Hell yeah, you can come over. Come on.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? You come over, I would have candlelight and I would have flowers and music. I'm a big music head, so I like to dance. Too. So dancing and massage. I'd love to give a massage because I like to make sure that, you know, the lady's nice and relaxed. And I'm a big conversation person, so it's kind of like mind sex while I'm massaging you. So it's not only that I'm turning on your body with my massage, but also with conversation. And in the meantime, like I said, there'll be flowers and nice music playing and wine.
All right.
Good wine.
I love it. I love it. You guys, I have enjoyed this so much. This is my favorite part of the podcast. This is where we get to highlight someone who's made you laugh, who's inspired you this week, and we call it going to bed with. So, Star, I'm going to ask you, who would you like to go to bed with?
You know, and this is going to come off sexual because, you know, I love me some black women, but it's not sexual. I love, right now, I'm just in tune with so many sisters, and it's like every strong black woman who is just thriving and striving. I have so much respect for them. So those are who I'd like to go to bed.
I love that. Awesome. So you're a hoe. You want to go to bed with a bunch of them. Okay, that's my takeaway from that. Margaret, who would you like to go to bed with?
There's this girl that I've been kind of obsessed with on TikTok. She's way too young for me, but her name, they call her Taylor That Dancer. And these kids on TikTok, they're just about 27, but they do these dances that are just so phenomenal because it's almost like you're watching a computer glitch in the Matrix where they're moving like tiny little like synchronized movements that are almost like, is this some kind of like computer animation thing? But no, it's just dance. And she's a lesbian. She's just gorgeous, but she could be like my daughter. So I'm like, she's way too young, but I just love to, I'm just obsessed with her channel and watching her online.
You guys, I have decided today to go to bed with Jane Fonda. I mean, she is 83 years old, activist, like owns who she is, her sexuality, her feminism. I think she is just a rock star. So I'd like to go to bed with her. So Margaret, is there anything you want to promote or where do you want my fans to follow you? Give us all the details.
I have a new podcast. It's called Mortal Minorities and it's on the Eros Network or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And it's the history of Asian American hate crimes, whether it's as soon as Atlanta, a couple weeks ago, all the way back to the gold rush in California. So it's historical and modern crimes against and by Asian Americans.
Amazing. And you want to give your social?
You can follow me at Margaret Cho on Twitter and at Margaret_Cho on Instagram.
Perfect. Star, what do you want to promote? Where do you want us to follow you?
Excellent. I just directed a feature film that will actually be screening on Lifetime April 10th called Lust, which stars Keri Hilson, Tank, Tobias Trevelyan.
Wow.
It's a T.D. Jakes executive produced, you know, movie. So that's April 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Everybody should watch
it.
And they could follow me at, thank you, they could follow me at Star Victoria Director on Instagram.
Yay.
Awesome. Yay. Congratulations. And I can't wait for us to work together again.
I love that.
Yes, absolutely.
This has been really, really fun. Thank you guys for taking the time to go to bed with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this show, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And you can help support us by leaving a review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. The after party continues on my Instagram at Garcelle and on my Twitter at Garcelle B. And you can now watch our full episodes on YouTube. Going to Bed with Garcelle is an Orion podcast produced by Orion Television, Audio Up, and Beauvais Wilson Productions. distributed by Audio Up. Concept by Garcelle Beauvais and Lisa L. Wilson, hosted by Garcelle Beauvais. Executive producers, Barry Podnick, Garcelle Beauvais, Lisa L. Wilson, Sam Winter, and Crystal Liney. Co-executive producers, Cindy Levinson, Emu Zhu, associate producer, Taz Beckford. Music from Extreme Music. The show was edited and mixed by Jeremiah Zimmerman.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.